All right, it is Butcher Box, everybody. With Butcher Box, you get peace of mind, ultimate convenience, and incredible value. You can now find high-quality meat and seafood you can trust. 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork-raised, crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. You don't know what it's going to do. Humanely raised, no antibiotics or added hormones. The ultimate convenience, being delivered right to your doorstep and with free shipping always. The value is incredible. You get a variety of high-quality cuts, exclusive member deals, recipe inspirations, guides, tips, and hacks. Butcher Box is convenient. There's nothing like having everything you need for dinner right there in the freezer. The value is incredible and absolutely the best way to get quality food. With Butcher Box, you don't have to worry about what's for dinner. Today, Butcher Box is giving our listeners free ground beef for life for the life of your membership, plus an additional $20 off your first order. Use my link, butcherbox.com/burr, and use the code burr to get free ground beef for life plus $20 off your first box. That's butcherbox.com and code burr, B-U-R-R.
Hey, what's going on? It's Bill Burr, and it's time for the Thursday afternoon, Monday morning podcast just before Friday, and I am just checking in on you! Just checking in on you. How you guys doing? Are you having a good day? Oh, boy, I'm having a great day. Woo! Vindication, baby. Ah, fuck. Finally. Finally. Shut and all. You sports bar cunts, right the fuck up. In the back of your dumb fucking heads, you knew this was the... You knew. You knew he was innocent, you cunts. Not even innocent. I'm just saying, the whole fucking thing was so... It was so fucking stupid. You know what pisses me off? Obviously, I'm talking about the Tom Brady decision here. Which doesn't even say that he's innocent of all the fucking Deflategate shit, which pisses me off. It just says that the commissioner didn't... execute Article 46 in a proper manner that the court deemed inexcusable. Whatever. I guess Article 46 has to do with what the steps the commissioner is supposed to take when he fucking goes to suspend a player, evidently. I guess. I don't fucking know. So basically, they didn't have a fucking case, and he tried to fucking rubber stamp his way through it. I can't believe it, man. I thought the court was going to go inside with the fucking arbitrator. I really did. But fortunately, they didn't, and I don't know. I mean, as happy as I am that it's over, it was a huge distraction to the team, and it was a big fucking waste of time. And I actually saw on Twitter another Boston guy, Donnie Wahlberg, goes, okay, now what about all those draft picks we lost? Which is a great fucking point that I didn't see anybody else bring up. Everybody's sitting there skipping down the street because Brady's going to be playing, but we still got fucked out of all those draft picks. Dude, how successful are the Patriots that they are getting fucked with to this goddamn level? How much of a bunch of fucking babies is everybody in the, not everybody, but all the higher-ups in the Colts organization? Grow a fucking dick. You lost a game to fucking drag it through this whole thing. They literally turned it into fucking an episode of Falcon Crest or Dynasty. I'll go with Dynasty. I never watched either one of those shows, but it always seemed like somebody was getting thrown in a pool, right? Their dress and makeup on. Whatever. I got to be honest with you. I don't even give a shit. To be honest with you, I don't even give a fuck. Once I saw that he got four games and then the fifth game when he was coming back, they were going to be playing against the Colts. It was just like, is this like a fucking soap opera? I don't know. I got that same queasy feeling when I used to watch when I was watching the NBA. In the 2000s, and I would sit there telling my friends, going, this game is fucking fixed. And then that got to the point of saying the NBA is fixed. And of course it was, oh, you got your tin hat on, you're a conspiracy theorist. Then what do? They find a fucking mobbed up ref who's throwing fucking games. And then I go, well, there you go, I'm vindicated, right? And everybody's like, well, it was just one guy. Oh, yeah, it was just one guy. It's always just one guy. That fucking guy, Oswald. Right? It's always just one fucking guy. Oliver North. It's just one. Ollie North. He put the whole fucking thing together. It's always just one guy. Let me tell you something. If you're ever involved in something and you don't feel like you're getting all the information from your other fucking criminals, just know that you're going to be the guy. If shit goes down, you're the guy going to be left holding the fucking bag. They always have that. Any smart criminal fucking organization always has the guy who's going to be left holding the bag just in case. Just in case the shit hits the fan, who's our bad guy? Ollie North. Fuck, I almost said Oliver Stone. Fucking, what's his face there? Old shot in the gut. Ah! Lee Harvey Oswald. Whatever. I can't remember what my fucking point was. Why would you listen to this shit? I don't give a fuck. I got to be honest with you. I thought that I stopped giving a shit, I think like 3 months ago when I found out he was appealing it and then he had to appeal it to the guy who fucking suspended him. I'm like, gee, do you think he's going to win this one? And once they gave him a 4-game suspension, I was just like, all right, you know, whatever. I was the guy going, hey, he shouldn't appeal it. Just take the suspension, become a fucking martyr, rest up your 38-year-old bones and come back in game five. And I also thought there was no fucking way that he was going to win it, because I read something where they said that they usually side with the decision made by the arbitrator. So I'm happy that it happened, but I also don't really give a shit. Who gives a fuck? You know what I mean? The whole league's become a fucking joke. They got a female ref. They got a female coach. Why? Because they give a fuck about women? No, because they're doing damage control because of the Ray Rice thing. They don't give a shit about women. They don't give a fuck about anything, right? They give a shit about money. So they're wearing pink for an entire fucking month. I don't even know what it is anymore, right? And, dude, I called it, as far as he would say. Said with all these concussions and all of that type of shit, and now they got all the women coming into the NFL. I'm calling it right now. Within 10 to 15 years, the combination of the damage that this game does and the female intellect being brought into the game, this dumb game that's awesome where guys bash each other's brains in will become a much more intelligent game of flag football. I think that's what's going to happen. They're just getting rid of all the dumb shit that makes men great, which is hurting one another in a competitive way. They're going to get rid of all of it. They're fucking with hockey. They're going to get fighting out of hockey. They're going to get a bunch of women into fucking the NFL. They'll start wearing pink all 4 fucking months. They'll have flags, you know. Maybe play a little two-hand touch. They'll start with offensive and defensive linemen starting in the stand-up position so they don't smash into each other. And I don't know. Then they'll have some new, hey, take it easy fucking rules. They'll just keep whittling away at it. And in the end, by the time I'm in my 80s, the NFL and the NHL that I watched will be like I used to go to the Roman Coliseum and watch Christians getting thrown to the fucking lions. But you know what? I got to tell you this. It was a hell of a run. It was a hell of a run. You know, they got all women sports talk shows now. They're going to fucking just through pressure alone, whether they're good or not, everyone's going to be so afraid of being called sexist. They're going to take over the Terry Bradshaw, Howie Long shows. It'll be all women coaches. It'll be all women all the time wearing pink. And it'll be a completely different thing. It's over. It was a hell of a fucking run, you know? A lot of guys got hurt. But God damn it, it was entertaining. And now it's over. So what are you going to do? It's a new era. Just sit back and find that mute button. Ah, fuck me. Good Lord. How do you fuck up a good thing? How do you fuck up a great thing like that? Anyways, I'm just giving the lady shit. We all know the biggest lady out there is Jim Irsay. Jesus Christ. You know, he's fucking hiding his face right now behind a little parasol. He fucking runs into his office, twirling the thing, crying.
It isn't fair. We wanted to go to the Super Bowl, and the Patriots beat us. They cheated. The balls were lighter. We'll go with you. Fuck you. Fucking baby. Fucking unbelievable. I have been holding my tongue so bad. Let's not talk about Jim Irsay. Let's just go fucking random here. All right? For all you Patriot haters out there, let's just say your next door neighbor was a drug addict, okay, who had a dead mistress. And for some reason, he thought your fence was too much on his side of the property. Even though you had a fucking goddamn whatever. Yeah, it's whatever. It's like you put a coat of paint on it. And that extra coat of paint, because you didn't strip it down to the wood, you put that extra coat of paint on it, and that just started to creep into the other guy's property. Let's just say that this your next-door neighbor, who's a drug addict and has a dead mistress, hires a guy who isn't a doctor but says he is one to build a case against you. And let's just say, for some fucking reason, it's upheld and you stand to lose $2 million. Would any of that make any fucking sense to you? And furthermore, when you appealed it and then the entire thing got reversed, wouldn't you just be like, well, yeah. That's kind of what it took the NFL 7 months to do, I feel. Unfucking believable. Unfucking believable. Now, having said that, I think it's going to be a hell of a year in the AFC East. I think I'm loving Rex Ryan coming back with the Bills, and he has a defense. I think all the people that think that he's learned something from talking shit are dopes. Rex Ryan has not learned anything. Rex Ryan is Rex Ryan, all right? And he's always going to be Rex Ryan unless he loses his defense. Then he slumps his shoulders and tries to act like he's a class act. He isn't. I'm not saying he doesn't have class, but he's not a quiet guy. He's that guy fucking talking with his mouth full with spaghetti sauce on the front of his shirt. That's just who he is. And you know what? You need that fucking guy. You don't want to look at him when he's eating. But other than that, he's a fun guy to have around. So I'm predicting right now, without even looking at the schedule, without even knowing a fucking thing, I'm going to say that we split with the Bills. And when the Bills win, probably win the first one or whatever, I predict that Rex Ryan is going to talk not all kinds of shit. He will make some sort of comment, and you will see that manic look on his face. He'll probably say something dumb about winning the Super Bowl or some stupid shit like that. And as always, Bill Belichick will be looked at as a dud. As a guy who's, socially inept and all that type of shit. I love when people buy into the fucking press whining about that. You know fucking Belichick is a hot shit. He's just smart enough not to talk to those fucking cunts in the press. He knows everything that he says they're going to twist around. And it's just going to be used as what do they call it? Fucking bulletin board material. Bill Belichick said this about you guys. He doesn't respect you. That's why every fucking week, I don't give a shit if he was going to play a bunch of stand-up comedians, full pads, he'd still be like, well, any given Sunday, anybody can win. And you know, the second they leave, he fucking breaks out a stogie and a scotch, right? Starts telling stories. I'm just saying, all right? Just because somebody wrote it or said it doesn't mean it's true. Do you know some asshole on Twitter? I don't know if he's being an asshole. He sent me a thing saying, hey, Bill, you should go back to drinking because according to this study, taking time off from drinking does not cleanse your liver and actually might be detrimental to your health. So I click on it. Clickbait. Fuck it. I can't resist. I'm weak mentally. I click on the shit, right? I go to it and I read, and it's just some woman talking to one doctor who just says a bunch of vague shit about, like, if you normally drink or whatever, if you were just to stop cold turkey, that, yeah, blah, 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 blah. It was just, so I just wrote back, yeah, one dope talks to one doctor. Get the facts. The whole article just reeked of being a study funded by somebody who sells alcohol. And you could see how when they used the quotes from the doctor, it was always like dot, dot, dot. Something the guy said, dot, dot, dot. So they just take a little fucking clip of it. He was probably doing that thing, where they say like one glass of wine every day is actually healthy.
And then they just, you know, cross-examine. Well, let's say somebody was to stop drinking that glass of wine and was to eat McDonald's every day. Then would that be a good, healthy thing? And the doctor's like, well, you know, in that instance, I imagine that, you know, if you were eating high trans fats food and you did not have that glass of wine, you would probably be better off with the your arteries being clogged up by the trans fats. You probably want a little bit of alcohol to come in there and clean it out. So at that point, yeah, yes, I would venture a guess that that would be detrimental. And then they take all of that shit and then they just say, taking one glass, you know, knocking off booze could be detrimental. Give me a fucking break. I know I don't need a goddamn study to tell me that taking a fucking 70 days off from drinking is good or bad for my liver. I see the results. I did a gig with Verzi like in the beginning of May, and he came walking in. His skin looked amazing. His face. He came in. Oh, Verzi was glowing. He goes, dude, I've been crushing it. I haven't drank in 5 days. I'm like, dude, I can see it in your face. Your face is already thinner, and your skin looks clearer. I got to look at some fucking study. Now, look, I'm not saying that you can drink like a fucking animal like I did and then take 75 days off or whatever, and then you have a brand new liver. I'm not a fucking dope. I know that. It's like I beat the shit out of a car, all right? But you know what? I didn't beat the shit out of it in 75 days, so rather than the fucking car being 75 more days beat on, it stopped at whatever fucking number I beat on it. You know, I get it. Look, all you guys are doing, you know, some of you guys, what you're doing to me is the same thing that they do to the Patriots. You see me getting towards the fucking brass ring of 162 pounds. So now you're starting to hate on me. I get it. You see me becoming a champion right before your very ears on this podcast. Actually, I got to tell you this. I'm taking a loss this week. I'm already calling it on Thursday. There's no way I'm getting down to 162. I got busy this week. And then also, I was just feeling it in my bones. Like, I took a day off. Then I go, take another day off. Give your body a rest. Just try to eat as well as you can, which I did. And then today, I went to the gym. Went down there, and I threw the fucking weights around. Did 45 minutes of cardio, and I'm right back on it. Right back on it again. So I weighed myself. I was like a buck 66 and change after the fucking workout. So I think by Sunday, I can be like 165, 164. So whatever. So what am I going to do? Quit? Am I going to start crying like fucking Jim Irsay and have rules change that 164 now means 162? No, I'm not. I'm just now my goal is to get down to 164 and then the week after down to 162. And then I did it. You know, and then that's it. I'll buy myself a little fucking championship ring. And instead of a fucking smoking a cigar, I'm going to have one of those cakes, those lollipop cakes. I don't even know what those things are called, but those things are the funniest goddamn thing ever to me. Cake on a stick. You know what I mean? Like, that's one of those things where you're just a fat fuck. If you eat cake on a stick, you're a fat fuck. And I don't want to hear like, oh, it's a lot smaller than a fucking slice of cake. Who the fuck has a slice of cake other than on their birthday? You know what I mean? Now you're just adding fucking cake on a stick because you think it's smaller. There's certain things that you know, I just don't have any. I have zero tolerance for. Cake on a stick, donuts, any of that shit that's stuffed with marshmallow with sugar and it's like the color of like those snowballs. Does anybody eat those anymore? I don't know who the fuck eats those things. But anyway, when you're just sitting there with a sugary lump of shit, like I don't have any sympathy for you. What are you doing? So anyways, what the fuck was I going to talk about? Back your brain up, Bill. Where were you talking about cake on a stick? Ah, fuck. It's gone. And just like that, it's gone. There's nothing we can do about it. And also, as far as my diet being fucked, I'm going to try that... That Sunday gravy recipe that I was watching like a bunch of fucking Italians making the whole goddamn. It was just awesome. So I'll let you guys know how that goes. And I'm also fucking with my garage here. Let me read the advertising here. Jesus Christ, the whole momentum of this podcast. fucking went down. There we go. Where do we go? You know what's funny? I had no idea that the decision even got reversed about Tom Brady. I thought it was going to happen on Friday, so I wasn't even paying attention. And then I got a bunch of text messages. Congratulations. I'm like, about what? People are like, what, do you live under a fucking rock? It's like, no, I just haven't put on the TV today. Sorry. All right. Two attachments. Two reads, everybody. Can you deal with two reads? All right, there we go. What is it doing here? What are you doing? What are you doing? Come on. Sorry, guys. I usually have this ready. You know, don't you fucking hate when somebody just doesn't attach the fucking thing? Why do I have to fucking download it? They'll do something like, hey, what time do I need to be there? I have all the information in the attached document. And you got to download it for it to be, say, like 7:30. What is this? Production notes script for ad week of... I can't read this shit. There's like writing on top of writing here. And for some reason, they give me their graphic to fucking download. This is all going off the fucking rails here. All right, I'm going to try to read this. But there's like words behind the words. All right. I don't know what this is for. I think it says Oxio Read. RD. I don't even know what it says. There's this shit in front of this yellow shit. All right. It's okay. You can admit it. The last thing anyone wants to do is work after work is wait in line at the grocery store. Oh, this is Blue Apron. Schlep home and cook a complicated meal and expensive, unhealthy takeout is hardly better. That's where the new service Blue Apron comes in. Blue Apron delivers farm-fresh ingredients and step-by-step recipes to your home, allowing you to create healthy, handcrafted meals at home without going to the grocery store. This is way better than those fucking guys who drive around in the cars with food in the backseat. It's like, when the hell was that cooked? I got a buddy of mine that orders that shit. Guy just, he orders like a salmon dinner and it shows up 2 minutes later. It's like, who cooked that and when? How long has it been riding around in somebody's fucking car? I like Blue Apron. They're like sending you the ingredients. This is just like somebody went to the grocery store for you. It's like you got to broaden your life, but you don't have to pay her. Well, I mean, you do, but it's way cheaper. For less than $10 per meal, Blue Apron sends you fresh ingredients, perfectly proportioned, making cooking healthy meals really easy and fun. Oh, great. No trips to the grocery store and no waste from unused ingredients. Plus, you'll learn to cook with specialty ingredients that are normally hard to find. Blue Apron is perfect for date night, cooking with friends, and they even offer friendly family plans. Friendly family plans with kid-friendly ingredients so the whole family can eat well and have fun preparing the meals together. God, there's so much copy and I'm so fucking stupid. Each balanced meal is 500 to 700 calories per serving, and it's so tasty you'd never know. Cooking takes half an hour. So does reading this copy. You dumb as me. Shipping is flexible and free, and the menus are always new. They won't send the same meal twice. Get the fuck out of here. If I order it every day for a year, I'm not going to get the same. What am I, eating a squirrel by the end of the year? They work around your schedule and dietary preferences, and Blue Apron experts source only the best seasonal ingredients for incredible meals like Asian-style pork burgers with crunchy slaw. God damn it, that sounds good. And flat iron steaks with romesco sauce and roasted potatoes. You'll cook incredible meals and be blown away by the quality and freshness. This is fucking unbelievable, man. Blue Apron, it's a better way to cook. Check out this week's menu and get your first two meals for free by going to blueapron.com/burr. My treat, really. The first two meals are on me when you go to blueapron.com/burr. blueapron.com/burr. All right, now I was told I had two copies. I only got one. That's all I got. I don't know what the fuck to tell you. Where the hell's my fucking phone? I was told that I had... Did I shut it off? Ah, good. Gives a shit. All right. Anyways, let's plow ahead here. So I'm finally like turning my attention to my fucking piece of shit, goddamn cocksucking motherfucking cunt of a garage. I have the worst fucking garage. I have a worse garage than somebody who has no garage. That's how bad my garage is. As I told you guys before, the property line down my driveway, like, angles in at like a 30-degree angle. My garage was built by two different fucking people, at least. One person who added to the front of it and built out the right side. And on the left side, when they went to line up the right side with the left side where they were going to put the garage doors, looked straight across and realized that there was a tree there. So rather than removing the tree or backing up their fucking wall, they just fucking said, fuck it, and put the wall behind the tree. So my garage doors are at like a 15-degree angle, which is an optical illusion as I'm trying to back this truck in. The doors are faced this way. The garage is faced the other way. And I got a wall that's closing in 30 degrees on the right, which is now my left as I fucking look over. It's a fucking disaster is what I'm trying to say. So anyways, I'm sitting there and I'm trying to, you know, I'm into this grip strength workout. So I have a pull-up bar, chin-up bar, dip station, and it takes up a lot of space. So I'm going to put that on Craigslist. I'm going to sell that thing, and I'm going to get this pull-up bar and just mount it to the wall. All right, then my wife wanted a speed bag, so I knew where I was going to put that. I had two cabinets that were on the floor. Those were going up on the walls, and then I have two bikes. One for me and the one that I bought my wife that she never uses, and I'm putting those on the wall, all right? And then I wanted to get a pegboard, all right? So I get the pegboard. The only place I can mount it is at the front of the garage where that guy put that fucking janky extension onto it, because there's enough headroom for my giant head if and when I'm ever strong enough to get up to the top of it. So the fucking pegboard is 36 by 36. I go down there to measure it, right? And wouldn't you know, 35 fucking motherfucking cunt inches in is this galvanized fucking useless ass pipe. So I'm like, you fucking motherfucker. So I call a plumber to come over to fucking just hack it, to shut off the water, hack it off, and then cap it right inside the wall. And he comes in and immediately he's like, oh, that's galvanized pipe. That's original to the house. And back in the day, they used to just thread those things right on the spot. So the only way for me to take that thing out was I'd have to go all the way into the walls in your house, in the ceiling, all the way downstairs that you just redid. I'm like, you got to be fucking kidding me. You just can't cut it off there? He's like, nah, I can't do that. I should have asked him if he could re-thread it there the old school way, but I know they probably don't make one of those anymore. So he caps the fucking thing off with this nipple sticking out, which would then make the pegboard have to be off the wall just far enough where if I went to open the garage door that swings in, it would hit the fucking thing, and then I couldn't get my truck in. So I'm done fighting the garage. I'm now going to try to find a pegboard that isn't 36 by 36. Maybe they make one that's just 24. Do they make one that's just 24? And I don't want those long, skinny ones because those things don't fucking work because you need like a 200-foot fucking roof. Whatever, I'll look it up later. So anyways, I've decided that I'm going to stop fighting my garage. I'm going to get a pegboard that fits there. And even if I have to cut it in half and fucking customize the thing, it's what I'm going to do because I really am fascinated with that grip strength workouts. And I just like building up muscle like that. It seems way more, I don't know, pliable to my life. That I can fucking lift my own body up, to me, is better than trying to bench 200 pounds like I like to try to do back in the day. Which I guess is great if a fucking rock fell on me. I could get the goddamn thing off me, or I guess. But I think mostly, you know, like, what, say I ever got kidnapped by that guy in Silence of the Lambs and he threw me down that fucking hole. You know what I mean? I would have enough fucking strength that I could go horizontal. Right? And just walk my way right out of that fucking thing. Or at least to the top of the hole. Then, I mean, he's got all the weapons and shit. But, you know, that'd be funny. You get up to the top of the hole and you're fucking gassed. And he's just standing there like, wait a second. Wait a second. He starts running at you with a fucking axe. So that got me, you know, I was looking at pegboards on YouTube, which then got me into, you know, those rock climbing gyms with all those, you know, those cool holds and that type of stuff. And I watched this one woman in this German stunt stuntman class, just like, she literally had like chimpanzee strength. She was just flying. It was one of the most amazing fucking things I've ever seen. So anyways, I ended up going to this this website called Atomic Holds. A-T-O-M-I-K. Atomic Holds. And I'd love to reach out to these guys to see if they'd advertise slash send me some free fucking shit as I redo my garage. And all I want to do is what I saw this guy had was he just had a couple of 2x4s in the top of his ceiling, and then he just had like some chains and then like one of those C clamps that you could just put all these different holds on. They have like small bombs, atomic bomb, missile, pipe bombs. And you just do like pull-ups on these things. And then if you get a number of them and you get a long board, you can just put a run of them together and just sort of climb from one to the other. It just seems fucking cool as shit. It's a way better way to work your core without having to get on the ground and do those old school fucking sit-ups. So I think I'm going to do, I'm going to turn my garage. I'm done fighting the fucking thing. I'm done fighting it. I'm going to work with the measurements that I have. And I'm going to put some of those climbing holds up there and some of those missiles, pipe bombs is what they call. They're just different grips. I'm going to have those hanging from the fucking ceiling. And I'll have my pull-up bar. My wife will have the speed bag. And that's good. And I'm going to get I found this great flooring from Rubber Flooring Inc. I made like a grocery list. I haven't ordered any of this shit yet. But Rubber Flooring Inc. seemed to have like the best gym flooring that I could find. And once again, I don't know how I'm gonna have to cut that shit special when it goes. Dude, someday I really should just take a picture of my garage. I just get weirded out showing people the inside of my house, even if it is the garage. If you just fucking see the, it's actually embarrassing. I mean, part of me just wants to have it torn down and rebuilt, but I know somebody would be like, yeah, I can do that for about 160 grand. Can you meet me in the middle? But even if they were to rebuild it, I'm still dealing with the property line. I'm still really limited with space. So, I think I'm just going to work with what the fuck I have. I'm done fighting the house the same way we were done fighting the house when it came to our stairs, that go from the upstairs to the downstairs. My house was originally a ranch, and then they built the downstairs and they blew out a closet, and that's what they sent the staircase through. So the opening is just a closet door opening. So you can't get a couch down there. You got to bring it to the outside of the fucking house. It's just a big fucking pain in the goddamn ass is all I can tell you. I got to bring it through my fucked up garage. I got to literally carry the couch down the driveway, through the garage, into the backyard, and then up the stairs. And just, it's a fucking, it's ridiculous. So anyways, but I'm slowly but surely fixing all of this shit. But we just gave up on the stairs. One day we're just like, you know what? Let's just stop fighting the stairs. The stairs are the stairs. Fuck it. So I think I might do that with the garage. You know what I mean? The garage is the garage. Fuck it. And if I can hang a bunch of shit up there and then not have to go to the gym because I got my own fucking gym and, you know, and maybe just get one of those flat benches. And I think that's all I need. Rubber flooring. And then all the shit that I'm going to work out with is going to be up off of the floor. So in one corner, I can have all the original parts to my truck that I had taken off, and then I'm just going to have the gym. That is my game plan. That is my dream fucking home gym there. So, but if you're thinking of doing some shit like that, you know, if you're into American Ninja Warrior like I am, not like you're going to compete in it, but you're just fascinated with how fucking strong the men and women are on that thing, Atomic Holds is a great website to go check out. And the guys, you know, go on YouTube, too. If you just Atomic Holds and just look at videos, and this guy's reviewing all the different holds and that type of shit. And they also kind of tell you which ones are easy, which ones are more difficult. You get to see what they look like. You learn the names of them. And then just make a little grocery list. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to try and put this fucking thing together. You know? I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. And then become absolutely shredded! But one last time, as I'm sliding into 50, I'm going to be one of those guys like, I'm going to start dressing like Jack LaLanne if I actually get in shape. You know, that onesie, fonzie, fucking mechanic zip up. So anyways, if anybody's done anything like that, got any of those atomic holds, those things, and can recommend stuff for a beginner, I just think that I think they're fucking awesome. And I've always, I don't know why, but that level of strength I've always respected the most. People who can climb up a fucking rope, the fucking pegboard and all that shit. I think it's awesome. So anyways, hope that wasn't too fucking boring for you. I'll let you guys know how the Sunday gravy goes on Monday. And whatever. I think it's going to be a great football season. I'm happy that Brady's back. I know that the lawsuit's going to continue and all that type of shit. And Goodell's going to, you know, appeal it. There's a lot of fucking big egos going on here. Who's kidding who? But I'm glad it's over. And Colts fans, I want you to know I'm not shitting on you. Okay? I'm not shitting on you guys. And I'm not shitting on your players. I'm just shitting on Jim Irsay. Okay? And I don't think that we're any better than that guy is. I'm just sick of the fucking accusations only going one way. You know what I mean? We've only came at you one time for pumping crowd noise in. That was it. We didn't say shit about all the other stuff that I've said 9,000 times on it. So having said all that, I don't think the AFC East is going to be a cakewalk. I think the Bills are going to be really fucking good. I think Rex Ryan is great when he's got a great defense and he has a fucking... you know, somebody, a quarterback, that can just manage the game. He's shown before, you know, he did that with the Jets, and they beat us in the playoffs at home, kicked our fucking asses. So I'm going to pull a Belichick here, you know? I'm not taking anybody lightly in the AFC East. But, and finally, oh, I got to give a little shout-out to the Toronto Blue Jays. I'm sorry I wasn't bringing you guys up. You guys are fucking, you know, I can't say you're walking away with the goddamn... AL East, but yeah, good on you guys. You know, you haven't won in a while, 93. God knows the fucking, you can't depend on your Maple Leafs. Maybe you can get a World Series out of it. But I'm looking forward to that type of shit. Oh, and today, hail to the victors, Valiant. Hail to the victors, fucking Jim Harbaugh is taking over. Go fuck yourself, Big Ten. Having said that, I think it's going to take them at least 2 years to turn the thing around substantially. But you know they're getting nervous. You know they're getting nervous in Ohio State. Down there in Columbus, you know they're getting nervous. They are. Who gives a fuck you won it last year? Half you guys end up going to the fucking NFL. And even if they don't, that second half will this year. It's the hardest fucking thing in the world is to continue trying to be successful, I think, at the college level. Coaching, because especially college hoop. Jesus Christ, you get a guy for 1 year now if he's any good. But whatever. As always, I don't know shit about what I'm talking about. Thank you for listening. And I'm going to go smoke a fucking stogie and watch this game. Can't fucking wait. That's it. Go fuck yourself. No, no. Have a great weekend, you cunts. She doesn't care whether or not he's an island. She doesn't care just as long as his ship's coming. Oh, my God, that fucking line dancing. Can there be a mass suicide amongst line dancers? Could that just fucking happen in the middle of one of your fucking cornball, stupid-ass fucking songs? Country music, I don't even know what it's for. It's for, like, pod people. There's absolutely no soul in it whatsoever. There isn't! All right there, angry redneck listening to this, punching the dashboard of your Chevy S10. All right, there isn't. It fucking sucks. And that line dancing where you sit there with your fucking thumbs in your fucking pocket and you do that little I'm in Dallas, Texas this week. So let's go for big air on this one. Where you do that thing, you fucking I wish this was a vodcast. Which I'm not doing, by the way, so stop fucking asking me. The great thing about this thing is you can listen to it while you're doing other shit, right? All right, so anyways, they do that stupid thing where they bend their fucking knees. And I can't even think of the fucking music. Right? Isn't that how the music goes? And then they do that little thing where just one of their feet, right? Their right foot, we'll say the right foot, it's just pivoting on the heel. And the toes are face forward and then to the side and then back to the front. Ah. Then they do that little thing where they bring their fucking foot up and they spank the bottom of their foot. All of them.
You know what kills me about those people is they actually think that Jesus loves them. I got news for you, rednecks. Jesus is looking the other way. He's embarrassed. He's combing his fucking hair into his face when he watches you people line dance. He is looking like that chick in the ring.
Money, he's got a gold watch. She's got a silk dress and healthy breasts that bounce on his Italian leather sofa.
Oh, I know what I'm going to talk about. Where the fuck is my newspaper here? This is at the risk of burning some potential material. This is something you can look forward to watching me go off on in the future on stage. All right, hang on a second. I got to blow my goddamn nose again. Hold on.
Hold on. Just go eat a pastry. Ah!
Fuck. There we go. Had to get it out of the mustache. anyways, so everybody saw what happened to Arnold Schwarzenegger this week, right? So Time Magazine has an article out there. It says, "Sex, Lies, Arrogance. What makes powerful men act like pigs?" Okay? So I look at who wrote it. It's written by a lady. How fucking funny is that? Sex, Lies, Arrogance. What makes powerful men act like pigs? A woman is going to tell the world why guys act the way they act. Do you realize how fucked up? At what point are men going to make a fucking stand here with this? Okay, I don't want to come off like a chauvinistic pig here, and you just giving away everything. A guy should have wrote this article. He could have had so much more fucking insight. What the fuck does a woman know? She doesn't know, and the whole thing is just, the whole thing is written by in the female's point of view, which is the only thing you understand is being that woman who got cheated on. So there's this woman scorned vibe under the whole article, but there's no information in here. I learned nothing. I was reading it. I learned nothing as a guy, and she's fucking wrong on most of her points. One of the great things they like to say is that men of power, the reason why they cheat is because they feel entitled. They feel they're entitled. I'm not going to burn the bit, but that's so not even true. And what kills me is some fucking broad like this Nancy Gibbs would sit there and argue with me. Being a lady. A lady. Do you understand what you're doing there? You're basically telling me that you know how my brain works better than I do. I was watching her. The reason why I bought this fucking article, because I was watching it on television. I saw the art, and then obviously like a fucking magnet, I'm drawn to this. I'm like, I like this topic. I want to hear about this. And then Nancy Gibbs comes on, and she's talking to a guy. And he's going, really? Oh, is that what it is? Oh, okay. Like, it's fucking horrific. That would be like me, like, here's something for you. Here's like women, you're never going to know what it's like to have a dick. All right? So stop it. Stop trying to write articles. Stop trying to act like you're in our heads and you know what we're thinking. You don't. You're always going to be observer. You're going to be an observer. You're sitting on the grassy knoll wondering, ooh, where did the shots come from? You have no fucking idea. You're just coming up with your theories. The nerve of you to get to cover a fucking Time magazine with this horse shit. Just a bunch of horse shit. They got one over there. Listen to this shit. The Turning Points. This is from another lady. They had two people write about this shit. Elaine, I can't even read her fucking last name. Ciolino, whatever. France is having its Anita Hill moment. When the law professor testified before the Senate committee in 1991 that her former boss, Clarence Thomas, had sexually harassed her, he denied everything and was elevated to the Supreme Court. Notice how the fucking angry cunt leaves out the fact that he was acquitted. The guy was acquitted. She makes it seem like he was accused of that stuff, and because of that attention, he was elevated to the Supreme Court. But anyways, hearings were a turning, but hearings were a turning point. Women suddenly said that the madmen style of behavior they had been putting up with at work for so long, the leering, the inappropriate touching, the sexual banter, was not acceptable. Do you understand that she's not talking about the 1960s there? She's talking about 1991. I'm not saying that that shit wasn't happening. But, you know, I was in the workforce there. All right? People weren't walking around going, hey, toots, grabbing people's asses at work in 1989, 1990, 1991. They weren't. I mean, generally speaking, weren't. But this lady just fucking goes, the Mad Men style, which is from the 1960s. Madison Avenue. Hey, sweetie, go make me a fucking sandwich. That era. Completely ignoring all the bullshit that happened in the late 60s, 70s, right through the fucking 80s. In the 80s, they were talking about women wearing their fucking little power suits and power ties and all that fucking horse shit. This is all just one of these classic things where you have your angle and then you just write the whole fucking article. It's complete horse shit. What the hell is the quote in here I wanted to read? I don't even know. All right. Let me tell you something, Nancy. Let me tell you something, Elaine. Those guys don't do that shit because they feel entitled. They don't. All right? They don't. And if you want to know why, come out to a comedy club because I'm not burning the fucking material. I'll talk about it a little bit. I'll talk about it real quick. All right? What it is women don't understand what it's like to have a dick. They just don't get it. Okay? The fucking thing tells us what to do. You know? And right now, they're rolling their eyes because they don't understand the sex drive that we have. How could they? They got a vag. All right? And the thing is, there's no information out there to help guys out. Nothing. All guys, there's no information about being a guy in general. Hey, keep it in your pants. That's the sexual advice we get. That's what we get. Fucking, you got Cosmo. There's reams of shit talking about all the folds in your vagina every goddamn month. We get, hey, keep it in your pants. That's the kind of advice guys get. You go to jail, hey, don't drop the soap. That's it. That's all you get. We get little fucking four sentences, and that's how we're supposed to fucking navigate through life. So, you're born with a dick. You got this ridiculous fucking sex drive. The only thing that fucking keeps it in check is the fact that women won't fuck you. You got to figure out. You got to talk them into it. You go through dry spells. That's the only thing that prevents a guy from fucking 24 hours a day. Is other women making it difficult for us to get laid. But then what happens is when you become in a position of power, these cunts flip the fucking table and will suck your dick under your fucking goddamn desk while your wife sits across from you. So now the governor is taken off. You've never had to control your sexual urges because it was always done for you. You're like a spoiled kid. Now you're fucking famous. You got all these broads coming at you. You don't know what to do. Because you never really noticed how much you've been being led around by your dick. Now, I'm not saying every powerful guy out there is an angel. There's not. There's definitely some pigs out there. There's definitely some guys out there who do feel entitled. But to just paint it with that broad fucking stroke of a brush and to have a fucking woman sitting there telling me, you don't know what you're talking about, lady, all right? It just fucking blows my mind. It blows my fucking mind that they put two people on this assignment, and they were both women. Was that some political correct fucking thing because they were worried that guys were going to say what the fuck I'm saying, that basically their husbands would be out fucking everything that moved if women wanted to fuck the way we wanted to? I don't know. And not to mention, most people can't handle power, and that includes broads. Okay? So you get some guy in a powerful position, his ego's already going to go through the fucking roof. And then you combine that with the fact that basically half of the free world will now fuck him, and he's supposed to somehow rein that in, and his only piece of advice is keep it in your pants. You know? I mean, I don't know. It's really embarrassing that Time magazine went this fucking superficial. That it was like Psych 101. How they broke it down. Even their shit on Arnold Schwarzenegger about how he likes fucking around with girls that aren't beautiful. You know, they said it was because he was intimidated by beautiful women and blah, 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 blah. See, they're women. They don't get the difference between hooking up with a hottie and hooking up with the plain Jane girl who's going to try harder. Okay? As opposed to the fucking chick who's got 0% body fat and just thinks she's God's goddamn gift. You've seen that, right? You go to a titty bar, the hottest one there, does she try as hard as that fucking one in the middle? She doesn't. And after a while, you know what? You start looking at those hotties going, you know what? They're fucking more trouble than they're worth. All right? I want my dick sucked to completion. Who am I going with? The supermodel looking chick? Or the chick who's just happy to be there? Fucking morons. I don't know.
Doesn't care just as long as she still has her friends. Oh no, yeah. She doesn't care whether or not he's.
So anyway, so I got a 7:30 a.m. flight. All right, so I'm thinking, all right, that means I got to get up at fucking 5:30, return the rental car and all that horseshit. Why don't I stay at a hotel right next to the airport? So my travel agent gives me the whole list of options of where I can stay. So I'm like, yeah, fine, fuck it. All right, I check them out. And one of them is the Sheraton. Sheraton, respected name, a very quality hotel. I say, I'm going to stay there. And the price reflected that it was a quality hotel. It cost me like, oh, you know, $180 or something like that. It was a lot of fucking money. So $199, something like that. You know, for Philly, that's a lot of fucking money, considering I was right outside Upper Darby. So anyways, here's my travel tip for you. Do not ever stay at the fucking Sheraton at the Philadelphia International Airport. It is a beyond ghetto Sheraton. It's so fucking ghetto that I knew it was a fucked up Sheraton before I even went into it. I pulled up and it looked fine. I got out of my car, it looked fine. And as I walked into the place, as I was walking in, these four chicks were coming out, and they just looked like whores from a reality show. Awful tattoos on their feet, titties up and pushed together, these cheap-ass looking stripper shoes, and I went, oh, no. Oh, no, not a bad hotel. Please, God. Please. I started praying to the travel gods. Please don't let this be a bad hotel, you know? I'm like, what? But, you know, at first I was like, all right, what are these, like call girls? Do they just get done servicing some fucking married business guy on the road? Is that what they did? But it was like 12 noon. It's like, no call girls are up at 12 noon. All right. They already wiped, fucking washed off their vaginas, hosed them down at like 8 a.m. And now they just fell asleep face down in a fucking pile of glitter. And they're not going to wake up again till like 5 p.m. That's how it works. Then they wake up, they fucking, you know, I don't know what they do. You know, they put some fucking vitamin E on the ligature marks around their neck from the night before. You know what's fucked up about ligature? Nobody ever uses that statement unless somebody got choked to death. You know, ligature marks. No, there's never any ligature marks because you know why? Because these girls who are into that type of shit, if they survive the encounter, they wear that little ascot the next day around their neck. You know, the hoary one. A choker. That's what they wear to cover it up. You ever have a girl want you to do that? Want you to choke her? I remember one time I was with this girl, right? And she all this type of shit. She wanted me to slap her in the face and all this crazy shit that all these fucking women shows, they never address. They never address the amount of fucking women that like that. They like it rough. It's fucking insane. Unless I just keep picking the same kinds of fucking women. But it's ridiculous. The amount of fucking broads that I've gone out with. You know, fucking women's lib. Fucking blah, blah, blah. My career comes first. If we get married, I'm not taking your last name. Yada, yada, fucking yada. Right? Then you get them in, you know, the fucking all pro women, this pro women, that, and I'm making my own money.
and fucking, you know, and a couple other fucking lyrics from some stupid Beyonce song, right? All that fucking horseshit. You're going to respect me, eyeball to eyeball, the images of women on TV, all that fucking horseshit. And then you get them back to your place, and lo and behold, they have a rape fantasy. You know? Am I the only guy? Am I the only fucking guy? So anyway, so I see these fucking, just these whores. Father didn't stick around. You know, George Foreman grill eating fucking, just never had a chance. Four girls just coming out. Just never had a fucking chance. And, you know, just dressed like fucking truck stock fucking whores. And the sad thing is they think they look good. And they don't even realize the vibe that they're putting out. They don't know any better. They don't fucking know any better. All right? There was a rusted out car in their front yard the day they were born, and they never had a fucking chance. You know? The only fucking male voice that was in their household when they was growing up was the Billy Bass that their fucking dad left behind. You know what I mean? They just never had a fucking chance. So that was my first red flag. And I was going, oh, God, maybe they used some Sky Miles. Is that how they got in here? And I just walked in. The second I walked in, I could just tell the caliber of human being that was in there. Straight across the board here. All right? The caliber of white person, the caliber of black person, the caliber of fucking male, female. You just could tell. You know what I mean? Saw some black dude, you know, when they get their hair braided, but they don't have enough money to fucking get it braided enough, so they got all those little hairs sticking out of it, you know? So you can't see the scalp in between the braids, you know? It's not looking fucking right. It's just not looking right. The fucking white dude with the cheap Anderson Little suit, the fucking creased up brown loafers with this gold lame horse shit on the front of it. You know, shoes look like they cost $11, and I'm just going, oh, no. Oh, God, at least let the fucking room be clean, you know? So I check in. The lady behind the counter, she was nice enough. You know, I don't know how she ended up at this fucking Sheraton. Maybe she stepped out of line at the big stockholders meeting. This is their Sheraton Siberia. So then I go up to my room, and it's weird. It had like one of the, it almost looked like a little house. You come walking in, there's a door, and right next to it, there's this big window for some stupid fucking reason. If I want to overlook half the elevators in the fucking poor excuse for a pool that they had. So the blinds were down, all right? So I open it up, and it's a suite. I'm like, nice. It was a nice room. It wasn't bad at all. So I'm in there for like 5 fucking minutes, and I hear this knock on the door, right? Guy fucking knocks on the door. It was covered in foam, so that's what it sounded like. And I open the door, and there's a guy standing there with this giant coffee table. And he goes, and he's trying to walk in with this giant coffee table. I'm like, whoa, whoa. I go, you got the wrong room. I didn't order a table. He goes, no, this table's – is your room's missing a table. I'm like, it is? They go, yeah, the last people who were here broke the other table. I was like, Jesus Christ, what, they have like a party or something? And he went, yeah. I thought he was going to say no. He went like, yeah. And I go, well, did they fucking fumigate the place? Now I think everything's been jizzed on. I'm laying in fucking angel dust and cocaine and shit, you know? It keeps getting worse. Then I'm sitting there for another couple minutes, and then I just hear this lady telling this story, right?
This motherfucker trying to tell me that that motherfucker can't come over here. I said, motherfucker, you don't motherfucker with a motherfucker, baby.
And I'm like, is it at least a guest? Is it at least a guest? And I fucking open the blinds to my window, and she's one of the people cleaning the rooms. Just cursing up a fucking storm. Loud as fucking hell. Like all broke people. Broke people are the loudest fucking people because they live near the freeways. They live near the subway. They used to shouting over shit. So she's out there, this motherfucker trying to tell me what time it is, baby. Right? And just screaming. And you know how much I curse. Okay? I was offended. And you know how much I curse. I was just like, Jesus Christ. Can you please, I might have kids someday. Can you please stop cursing like that? But I didn't say shit. Because I mean, at that point, I knew what was going to happen. I would have been like, excuse me, could you do me a favor? Could you just not,
motherfucker, why don't you mind your own business?
Ain't nobody talking to you, baby. Right? I didn't want to go through that whole fucking thing and her screaming at me. Plus, she was so fucking big, she probably could have just chokeslammed me and we would have had to have a new fucking table in my room. Third fucking table that week, and I'm a conservationist. Is that the right word? So I'm like, all right, fuck it, whatever. So I don't say shit. So anyway, so I drove to Upper Darby. It was just unbelievably depressing that people have to live that way. Fellow Americans have to live that way. And that we're always sitting here fucking acting like we give a shit about other countries and we need to help out. We don't. All right? Well, you give a shit or I give a shit, but our government doesn't. We're worming our way in there to help them out, air quotes, so we can take their natural resources. All right? That's how it is. That's what the fuck is really going on. If you ever wondered why. All right? They don't give a fuck about Upper Darby, New Orleans, or whatever fucking all those blue-collar towns that are failing out there in Ohio. They don't give a shit about them because they already own them. So if there's any oil to be had, they can just go in and suck it out of the ground. Yeah, did that make any fucking sense? So anyway, so I go back to my ghetto-ass fucking Sheridan. All right? I come walking in there, and at this point, it's 1 in the morning. Now, if it was 1 in the morning and I was at a nice hotel, there'd be the usual thing. There would be some people hanging down at the bar, you know, drinking, getting ready to cheat on their spouses. Dressed nicely, though. All right? But because it was a ghetto fucking Sheridan, I went down there, and most of the people in the lobby were children. Running around, screaming, like 1 in the morning, kids just running around. I felt like I was in fucking Atlantic City. You know, those gamblers, degenerate gamblers, they don't fucking handle their kids right, right? So just this sea of fucking children. I mean, I was waiting for fucking, you know, the only thing was missing was somebody there, you know, gathering them. Like you could have had a children's choir. That's how many fucking kids were there. So I go up the elevator and I get out of the elevator, and I walk back up to my little, you know, I told you, the front of the room looked like a house, and there was a door, and then there's the window. And as I'm looking, I'm at the door, as I'm looking down to take out my hotel key, I look down, and on the windowsill is a 3/4-eaten chicken wing. Sitting on the fucking windowsill. I got pictures to prove it. They're all going to be up on the mmpodcast.com. Whatever the fuck it is. Is that the name of the website? I don't even know the name of the fucking website. What the hell's wrong with me? Yeah, the mmpodcast.com. If you go up there, I'll have all these pictures. The pictures of the Tower Theater and all that. I didn't take any pictures when I was driving through Upper Darby for obvious fucking reasons. I didn't want to be, you know, I would not want to be taking pictures down there because people either think you're a cop or you're just documenting their level of poverty, which would be fucking annoying to me if I was in that situation. So anyways, with that, that was my – oh, and then the next morning I woke up and I dropped my car off at Budget. It was fucking hilarious, one of these hilarious racial moments here. As I go to get on the bus, the bus driver's black, 5 white guys get on it. He asks us where we're going. I go, U.S. Air. This guy says this, blah, 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 blah. So we're driving in that, and he's listening to this preacher. Because it's Sunday morning, and the guy, you know, he's talking about, you know, people need to be into Jesus and blah, 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 all this, you know, regular Jesus shit, right? But then all of a sudden, he starts talking about Obama, and in a round of, he just starts kind of trashing white people. Just going, we should be giving thanks to Jesus that a strong black man is president and is not afraid to stand up to the white supremacists that we run in this country. And he's got it cranked. And I'm sitting there fucking, and all I did, just because I wanted to have the laugh, I just turned around and looked at all the other 4 white guys, and then everybody's just sort of sitting down looking at their wingtips like, really? What exactly is the call here? Or can we say something? You know, excuse me, we're not all white supremacists. You know? Like, what exactly is the proper response to that? Because I thought it was, I don't know, I actually thought it was fucking hilarious. I wish I could remember what the guy was saying. Ah, Jesus, now I'm fucking bombing again on this fucking podcast. He's got a gold watch, she's got a silk dress, and healthy breasts that bounce on his Italian leather sofa.
guys. Somebody wants, Bill, my girlfriend looks like a centerfold. Good for you. She's blonde. She has a beautiful face, a tiny waist, and giant cans. I have outdone myself. Well, what the fuck, man? Don't sell yourself short. Maybe you're a stud. So he says, however, having a girlfriend of such caliber, as you might imagine, comes with its share of problems. Oh, Jesus. Here we go. Like your good self, I battle keeping my temper under control at times, and particularly struggle when my girlfriend and I go out in public together. In short, the amount of male attention she gets is ridiculous, and at times it's infuriating. Have you ever found yourself out with a girl and noticed that every man within a 3-mile radius, from the sweaty 22-year-old walking boner to the porky, sexually frustrated father of three, is blatantly staring at her tits and her ass? I've always been of the opinion that if a girl is obviously with a guy, whether you know him or not, it's a gentleman's code not to have a staring contest with her ring piece. I don't know what that means. What's that, looking at her pussy? I have no idea. This guy's from Australia. If a girl is alone or with girlfriends, sure, objectify the shit out of her. But I think if a girl's holding hands with her boyfriend and you make it obvious that your helmet is pressing against the inside of your front zipper, then you're a cunt. Nothing serious has happened yet, but the weather is getting warmer. The outfits are getting smaller, and I'm concerned I'm going to wind up with some pervert's blood and quite possibly cum on my hands. All for now. All right. All right, this is a tricky situation, sir. You know, it's a very tricky situation. You know, there's a price you pay for everything. All right? You're the one who has a centerfold fucking girlfriend with a great ass and a nice set of fucking tits. And you just have to – this is how I look at this shit. As long as your woman isn't going around – trying to get attention. If she's just fucking standing there and she's so goddamn stunning that men are looking at her, but, you know, she's not, ooh, I dropped my lipstick, and then slowly bending over at the waist while looking over her shoulder. If she's doing that, I can tell you right now, bang her another couple of times and then fucking dump her, because she's going to be an absolute fucking nightmare, and you don't need that in your life, okay? But if she's just a stunningly gorgeous woman, that kind of comes with it. And if you lose your fucking temper and you start acting like a maniac, that's a great way to eventually annoy the shit out of her. And because she can't help it. Like I said, if she's not trying to get attention, she can't help it that she's gorgeous. And it's in this weird way, you're giving her shit for being herself, which is not fun for anybody, and then you're going to have a problem. So I don't know how to – you know what it's like? It's like when I whore myself out at the end of my shows and I sell DVDs, all right? I don't have to do that, but I choose to do it, and I'm standing – there's a choice I fucking made. And then I stand there, and what's going to happen? I answer this – yeah, this is one of these podcast questions, all right? Eventually, somebody's going to come up, and they're going to fucking insult me, tell me they didn't like my act, tell me – they didn't think I was as funny as when they saw me on TV, and I can't get mad because it's my fucking fault for standing there like an asshole. Just, you know, I put myself on the dunking stool, and I got to admit, sir, if your girl is the way that you describe her, you just have to accept that it's par for the course, and just give yourself a little halftime speech before you go out. You know, I'm not going to lose my shit. But if it is overt, there has to be a way that you can fucking address it without pissing her off. You also don't want to get into a fucking fight. I don't know. Just say, hey, buddy, can you limit it to, like, you know, 5-second shifts of staring at her I can't say tits. I don't know what you do. Dude, that's a rough one. That's a rough one. Man, that takes me back to being
Jesus Christ. I was like 21 years old. I went out on a date with this girl who was well out of my fucking league just because I didn't have the confidence to fucking be with her. You know what I mean? Beautiful girl. And I went out with her and I noticed she just kept looking around the restaurant to see who was looking at her. And I remember it annoyed the shit out of me, but I didn't have any experience with beautiful women. So I just sort of accepted it. And, but I never went out with her again. I tapped out somewhere through the fucking dinner. Even back then, I was an angry son of a bitch. I was like, let me get this straight. I'm buying you fucking dinner and you're looking around to see who else is staring at your tits. Yeah, you're a cunt. Good looking cunt, but, cunt nonetheless. Someday those looks are going to be gone and I'm just going to be left with a cunt. You know, who's going to be a psycho cunt because you're an attention whore. And when the attention goes away, you're going to be like some celebrity who fell off the fucking mat. Ah, fuck this, bitch. Fuck this. You know? And that was the end of that shit. That is podcast. It's fucking horrific. Machine. She doesn't have to use force. When she gets what she wants, she puts the rest on a tray in a Ziploc bag. In the freezer. She doesn't care whether or not he's an islander. She doesn't care just as long as his ship's coming in. A silk dress and healthy breasts that bounce on his Italian leather sofa.